This is the Adam Gold Show.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, I watched it. Yeah, he has no idea where it's going.
Yeah, he didn't.
He knew it was good, but he couldn't see it.
He also hit a fade, by the way.
He did.
I just want everyone to take that into consideration.
Just a butter cut from 276.
Yeah, he said he did not know where it was until he heard the crowd. Because as soon as he follows through, he's looking directly into the sun.
Just awesome.
Yeah, it was insane. The whole thing was insane. I love him. All right. Today's a big day, Adam.
It is. Why is it a big day?
Do you know why?
No, I have no idea why.
It is officially mock draft season.
Oh, yes.
How happy are you?
I brought up a mock draft last week.
Did
you see Pro Football Focus
had
the Panthers taking Sam Howell at number 6?
Huh?
Yeah, they did. That was something that they wrote. They wrote words for and published it for all to see.
Can I just ask this question real fast?
Sure.
We still have like 4 weeks of the season left, correct?
What, the NFL season?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we know who the first, all the non-playoff teams, and we actually now know the 4 teams or the 6 teams that got bounced from the playoffs. We know where they're going to draft also.
But like, we're not even waiting for the season to end to do mock drafts?
We never wait. They do a mock draft before the NFL season is even over based on what the standings look like.
Like, I saw Julian Council, who's our friend.
Yes.
He's
going to be part of the roundtable on Friday.
Great. I love Julian. Yeah. I think he's great.
Absolutely.
I think he does good work. So he does the Locked On Panthers podcast. Uh-huh. Obviously, he comes on the show all the time. So I saw him on Twitter today going, both Dane Brugler and Mel Kiper Jr. have the Panthers taking Charles Cross, offensive tackle out of Mississippi State, which is true.
Awesome. They've already selected him?
They have.
Oh, excellent.
But I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but isn't the question, why are we doing this right now?
No, we need it.
Like, I get from Julian's perspective, he's got stuff to tell. He needs stuff to talk about.
Clicks.
So Mel Kiper came out with his first mock draft today.
Oh, okay, good.
That's why this is a big day. It is Mel Kiper mock draft 1.0 day. I guess McShay has already done one.
He did, yeah, a few weeks ago.
He has Aiden Hutchinson going number 1 to the Jacksonville Jaguars,
yep,
the defensive end out of Michigan.
True. That is true.
Like major. Was Aiden Hutchinson like the big story of the year? Was he like, he felt like the poster boy for the college football season?
He was. Well, he had a great year, and then what he did to Ohio State was criminal. I mean, he murdered the game.
Yes.
He had like a ridiculous number of quarterback pressures, like a dozen quarterback pressures or something. So it was the biggest game that I've ever seen anybody on the defensive side of the ball have.
Mel has 3 offensive tackles going in the first 5 picks.
Yep.
So he has Evan Neal, who
from
is
Alabama,
the offensive tackle out of Alabama. He has Ikem Ekwonu
from NC State.
From NC State,
yep,
right? At number 5 to the Giants. And he's got Charles Cross, the tackle out of Mississippi State, to the Panthers. I do think it's interesting that Dane Brugler of ESPN has Ikem Ekwonu going number 1 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I had heard that over the course of the year that he might be the first overall pick. I am not in any way qualified to say he will or won't be or should or shouldn't be. For his sake, I don't care where he's drafted. I hope he has a great career. But everything that I have read, every single thing that I have read about him, although admittedly I have not read Mel Kiper's mock draft, says that he profiles more at guard than tackle. I have a hard time seeing a guard taken first overall. That doesn't mean you can't be awesome. I just have a hard time seeing that.
The other, I think, most interesting part of Kiper's mock draft, actually I think the most interesting part of Kiper's mock draft, is the first quarterback off the board. Kenny Pickett?
Nah. Right.
Matt Corral? Meh.
Right.
Sam Howell, meh. He has Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty, going number 11 to the Washington football team.
Big, strong, big arm.
Dual threat.
I've seen him play a couple of times. I'm not sure he knows where the ball's going when he throws it. I'm really not. But he checks all of those other boxes. And there's a little bit of a Josh Allen comp with Willis. It's Willis, right?
Yeah, Malik Willis, yeah.
And there's a little bit of a Josh Allen comp there in that not very accurate, but big, strong, and can run.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would do. Because there are like five or six quarterbacks.
But so you're telling me that Taylor Heinicke isn't the guy in Washington?
Yes, I'm telling you that. Because he's only the guy like once out of every five games, which means you're not the guy. I think that of the top five, maybe six quarterbacks, the last one taken has every bit as good a chance as the first one taken to be good.
Yes.
Same chance.
According to Kuiper, Kenny Pickett at 18 to the New Orleans Saints, Matt Corral at 20 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and for what it's worth, Sam Howell at number 28 to the Detroit Lions.
Gosh, I don't wish that for Sam.
So,
I don't wish that for Sam Howell.
So that's that. It's mock draft season already, and we still have 3-4 weeks of NFL football left to play. Some teams don't even have GMs. Some teams don't even have coaches.
I know. But it's the good thing is that they don't actually have to take this player.
They don't.
They're not bound by it.
All right, sticking with football. Number one, Derrick Henry held a padded practice, and he passed the test. I found this line to be interesting or funny. In the ESPN story about Derrick Henry.
Right.
The team held a padded practice on Tuesday and had some of the defensive players bang into Henry as he went through drills during the individual period of practice with running backs. And so Derrick Henry, because he was banged into.
Right. He's ready.
Has passed the test physically, and it looks like he will play this weekend against the.
Hey, guys, go bang into Derrick.
Yeah. Like, I've never read it that way. Usually it's just he went through, you know, a padded practice. He went through some tackling drills, something like that. It's never been worded as they had some players bang into him. All right, cool.
That's fantastic.
Next up, Dak Prescott has felt the need to apologize. And the reason he is apologizing are because some of his comments regarding the referees following their loss on Sunday. Here's what Dak had to say after the game on Sunday, after they lost, when he was informed that there were fans throwing things onto the field. Now, for context purposes, the initial reaction by Dak is to fans throwing at players, throwing drinks, popcorn,
right,
whatever else. Here's Dak.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team, you're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to the sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic, I get that, but to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest, nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose, and for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
At the referees.
Yeah. Yeah, they were at the referees.
Oh, credit to them then.
What? So, credit to them for throwing stuff at the referees?
So that's the money shot at the end of the quote, right? It wasn't the players they were throwing at the referees. All right, cool. Well, that's fine.
Fine.
Good. Get them.
Gosh, I wish I'd had something to throw.
So on Tuesday, Dak tweeted out an apology. I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss. My words were uncalled for and unfair. He sent three tweets out apologizing to the officials. Did Dak owe the officials an apology?
Yeah, he did. Hey, you know, it's not that he owed officials the apology. To me, that is an apology not to anyone in particular. It's an apology for being one of them. Yeah. One of the people who blames people who are not worthy of blame. Yeah. So to me, that's an apology of a guy recognizing that it's unbefitting of somebody in his position. Not to mention that he was more at fault than the referee anyway. So I think he has to apologize for that. You don't call up the official and say, man, I'm sorry. You don't do that. But that was apologizing for his own reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a couple of ways to look at this because I get caught in between, you know, referees at the end of the day are human beings and they are employees and they are workers, right?
Right.
And so I believe that they deserve a modicum of respect for what they do, right? Just like anybody else does in any line of work that they do, right? But at the same time, we have sort of normalized the disrespect of officials in many ways with the way they get treated. Like, I have sat here many times and defended, or chastised coaches for berating officials during games.
Right.
Right? Because at the end of the day, like, I know that that's a normal part of sports, and that's what the people who, you know, would disagree with me will come to me with. Like, hey, it's an emotional game.
Yeah.
These guys yell at the officials. It's what happens. The officials need to be able to deal with it. And to some extent, I understand that, and I do think referees have to know how to handle these guys. But at the same time, you're berating someone in the middle of their job.
Right.
Which on some level to me is uncomfortable. And yeah. So often coaches get fined for level-headed comments about referees after games when they don't get fined for berating a referee during games.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a it's a weird complex that we have with referees. But what I gotta admit, when I heard Dak say what he said, no part of me thought anything other than, well, that was kind of funny.
Well, you know, I understand
like,
that.
Like it didn't sound sincere to me when he was saying it. Like it sounded almost in jest. So I didn't think twice about what he said. And therefore, when he apologized, I thought to myself, what's he apologizing for? He just said what every meathead sports fan in Dallas calling radio shows is saying right now, probably.
I think you're probably right in that he didn't mean anything by it, but I'm not sure it matters.
It might not.
But he did the right thing in the apology.
You're listening to The Adam Gold Show on the North Carolina Sports Network.